السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام, موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز اینڈ اور سسٹرز ہو لسن اور ریسیورز, وی آر ڈسکسنگ لاسٹ ویک حضرت لقمان علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام, واٹ ہی ہیڈ ٹو سے وین ہی واز کوسچن دیٹ ہاؤ ڈیڈ ہی ریچ سچ ہائٹس, ہاؤ ڈیڈ اللہ تبارک و تعالی میک ہم ریچ سچ ہائٹس. He blessed him with such wisdom. So what did he have to do? So we discussed many issues, and I have recapped many a times. But we want to proceed a little further. So last week I mentioned that if you have to look at the nasihats of Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, now we are going to the nasihats that he made. In there are different nasihats, different advices that he gave to his beloved son and also to the people at large. Besides what is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, there are many, many other nasihats, words of great wisdom attributed to Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, in the limited time that we have on the day of Jumu'ah, we cannot even discuss a fraction of those nasihats. But before we go into those nasihats, I want to continue with what we were discussing last week, that if you have to look at Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what came first, even prior to his having invited the people towards the deen of Islam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, what was there in his life that was of attraction to the people of Makkah Mukarramah? Islam and the invitation to Islam came afterwards. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was definitely chosen as the Khatamul Anbiya. He was chosen as Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He was chosen as the seal of all prophets and the last of all the Anbiya and the best of all the Anbiya, the leader of all the Anbiya. All the Nabis and Prophets that came, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was chosen to be the leader of all. As I have said that I have mentioned already 120 times, and once more time will not make any difference. Na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah, madina. Gar Muhammad na hote, to kuch bhi na hota. Everything that we are seeing around in the name of deen, whether it is a masjid, whether it is Masjid-e-Aqsa, whether it is Masjid-e-Haram, Kaabatullah Sharif, whether it is Masjid-e-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Haram there means sacred. Some people get a doubt if they do not know Arabic. They say, why is it called Masjid-e-Haram? So they think that it is the opposite of halal. So it means sacred mosque. So whether it is Masjid-e-Haram, whether it is any masjid of the world, whether it is the Quran Sharif, whether it is of a Qibla, anything, it is there because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to this world as a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he invited towards the deen of Allah ta'ala. So he was chosen long, long before he was informed of his nubuwwat. He was given that information in the cave of Hira, in the 40th year of his life. But the noor of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was created, long before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was even created. Now that is a different subject. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before he invited the people towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, after his 40th year of life, but still there was something right from his childhood up till his 40th year of life which was of attraction to anybody that came into contact with him. The call that he gave from the mountain of Safa. Again, we have discussed that somewhere along the line. But the call that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave when he was first given that mantle and when he was first given that responsibility and obligation that now he must call people towards the deen of Islam. The first call that he gave from the Mount of Safa, what did he say in that? He could have invited them and said that, look, I'm going to now show you some miracle. Because later in his life, there were so many miracles, and even before that. But he did not invite them towards any miracle. The splitting of the moon and everything else took up place after that. Water flowed from the fingers of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam long after that. And so many other mu'jizats. If we have to just discuss mu'jizats, we can go on for the whole year. So all those things happen after that. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala could have made it happen even on that occasion that he was giving the first call. But it did not happen. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that if I have to tell you, when they all gathered there at the bottom, now he was on top, he said, if I have to tell you that there is an army behind this mountain which is ready to attack you, will you believe me? Each and every person, they had not accepted Islam as yet, and he had not yet given them invitation towards Islam as yet. The first thing that he is doing is what we may term as presenting his credentials. That he is saying that if I have to tell you there's an army behind this who is prepared to, who is getting ready to attack you, would you believe me? Then each and every one said that we will definitely believe you because we have never ever experienced you telling a lie. Now that was sufficient for them to believe in him in whatever he said after that. But again the same thing, jealousy, pride, arrogance. The moment he invited them towards Islam and he said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you must worship him alone, and all the other details that go with it. Abu Lahab immediately said, Tabban laka li haza jamaatana. Is this the reason for which you have gathered us? But the fact is that they all agreed that he was most truthful, most honest. They used to leave his things, their things by him for safekeeping. So honesty, truthfulness was part of his character, and they recognized it long, long before he even called them towards Islam. Now on this occasion again, Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, nasihats, whatever he mentioned there, I mean, he talks about akhlaq there, good character, the nasihats which he gives to his son and nasihats that he gives to the people at large, this good character that comes in there. All those things that he mentioned which we discussed last week and the weeks before that, it relates to good character. And this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. You're on the highest pedestal of good character. Sublime character. Nobody could point a finger at the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There was no way even an enemy could find a weakness or deficiency in the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. At the most they said that he is telling us to worship one Allah. And we must not worship these idols. We must make all gods into one God. Now that they couldn't understand. But the nobody could point a finger at his character. So that's when I mentioned that if you have to look at Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came back from the cave of Hira and he informed her of what had happened there, of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam coming and squeezing him and telling him to read and him replying that I cannot read, and it went on until he was told read, He said, what must I read? He said, Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. Now all that, whatever happened there in the cave of Hira. So he was worried and concerned that how is he going to now carry out this responsibility and obligation of conveying this message to a people that are steeped in such kind of sins and vices and evils, and those who are murdering and killing, to convey it to them was not an easy thing. So she assured him that you don't have to be worried. And again, in what words did she give her assurance? That is the important thing. Again, this too we have discussed, but again it came in whilst we are discussing this subject. That the words that she used is, Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. إِنَّكَ لَتَسِلُ الرَّحِيمُ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْبُ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومُ وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the gist of whatever I have mentioned is that she spoke about the good character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah ta'ala will not allow any kind of disgrace and humiliation to come upon you. In other words, if He has chosen you as the Nabi of Allah, as His Nabi, as the last messenger, if He has chosen to reveal the Quran Sharif upon you, and if He has placed this great obligation upon you, then He is the one who is now going to assist you and help you in conveying this message to those people that are steeped in all kinds of sins and vices and evils. You do not have to be worried and concerned. He is not going to bring any kind of embarrassment upon you. Why? Because you are very, very good and kind to your relatives. To family members, you are very, very kind, because those are the people that it is the most difficult to please. She mentions relatives first, because those are the people that are most difficult to please. It can be easy to please a friend. It can be easy to please people who are far, far away. It is easy to please people who are not related and with whom we don't come into contact all the time. But those people who are related, there's blood relationship, the person is a brother, or the woman is a sister, or it's an aunt, or the person is an uncle, or there's a nephew, or there's some kind of family relationship, then those people are very difficult to please, because they believe that it is their right that you must go out of your way to do everything for them. They believe, they are not going to do for you, but they believe that you must do for them. So no matter how much a person does for his family, no matter how much he does for his relatives, no matter how much he does for his brothers and sisters and people closely related, but at the end of the day they will say that what did he do? And if he did anything also, there's no kamal in that, there's no greatness in that, there's no great virtue in that. He had to do it, we are his relatives, we are his family members. If he didn't do it, then he would have been disobeying Allah Ta'ala. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says that you are excellent in your relationship with your family members. You carry the weight and the burden of other people. Again, this explanation I'm not going into detail. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam carrying the burden of other people. Different meanings are given there. You also earn, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's earning also, if we have to look at his expenditure, or if we have to look at where he spent his earnings, we will find that it was not for him. If he earned anything too, it was for the poor, for the needy. Very little he kept for himself, otherwise rest of it was for others. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was extremely kind to his guests, very hospitable to his guests. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to assist and help those people who were oppressed or who were suffering some kind of torture or who were suppressed. Now all those good qualities of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam she mentions. So again, it is akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which came first. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had already lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 15 years before he came and informed her of this incident that took place in the cave of Hira. Now a woman who had lived with a husband for 15 years and she finds absolutely no fault in his life, what can be better testimony than that? How many people can put up their hands or say that, yes, if you want to find out about me, if the person goes to somebody and the person says, I'm not certain what is your character, so therefore you must give me the opportunity to telephone your wife and ask her that how good a person you are. And she too must speak the truth, take qasam in the name of Allah and say how truthful you are and how righteous and pious you are. And sometimes even in the Islamic garb where you pretend to be pious, but how much of piety and taqwa is there when you are in the home? Or do you engage and indulge in those same evils and vices that people who are not known to be pious, they engage in? Because we think that nobody is watching us, there is only the wife that is watching. Or what kind of things we watch on the television there, or what kind of things the person is bringing into his home, what kind of CDs and video recordings and other kind of things, and what kind of discussions take place. So therefore here Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who stayed with him for 15 years, she is saying that you have got such wonderful characteristics, such wonderful person you are. I haven't found any kind of weakness in any kind of blemish in your character. So I don't expect Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to disgrace you or cause any kind of humiliation to come upon you. Tests and trials came in his life. Very, very severe tests and trials. But that is not humiliation, that is not disgrace. That was to show the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that under such kind of torture and persecution and ostracism and boycott and everything else that he and his companions were suffering, but how steadfast they remained and how great a contact of his was with Allah Ta'ala, and how much of acceptance there were and how much of sabr there was in his life. So that was, as we say, to separate the men from the boys, as we say. But that is what it is to show. When we see any person who is an Allahwala, a person who is of great piety and taqwa, and he is undergoing any kind of suffering, there can be sickness, there can be pain, there can be poverty, there can be divorces in his family, and his children are getting divorced. Sometimes the person's home got destroyed in an earthquake or something else, and yet that person is pious. So at that time we must understand that is to show to the people that look at him, those who are close to him, they will see that in all those conditions also, in his heart there will be a kind of satisfaction that it is all from my Allah and it is a test from Allah. So therefore I must not become restless, I must not lose hope and faith and trust in Allah, and I must not make the kind of statements that people who do not have trust in Allah make when they have to suffer any kind of hardship or difficulty. Young children, 9-year-old and 10-year-old children, believe me, I don't speak lies in the masjid. What is the need for me to speak lies? Or I'm here to just thrill you or something. Now 9-10-year-old children, Maulana kindly advise, I am suffering severe depression and I would like to take my life. Now what is the severe depression that a child of 10-year-old is suffering? I can show you so many letters of this kind over the years. Little children. Now what is it that's causing them so much of depression? Did we ever hear of a 10-year-old child, 9-year-old child suffering severe depression and want to take life? And for what reason? Reason is that the person has been let down. The young girl has been let down. And you can come to the conclusion by whom. So these people whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tests, and they are Allah walas, then in all conditions they remain steadfast. They don't lose hope and faith and trust in Allah ta'ala. So it is to show the people that look at my servants. These are my real servants. They are the ones who will be told, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. So we were discussing about good character, that this was outstanding in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So first came this good character, then came after that is the call and invitation towards Islam. And at present our state is this, that we have accepted Islam, we have grown in Islam, 50 years, 60 years have gone in Islam. But if you have to look at our character, then only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have mercy upon us. Last night also I mentioned in my talk here, that many people with Allah ta'ala's fazal have accepted Islam. After giving them some explanation of Islam, or answering some questions of theirs on Islam, people of different races too. But up till now, I haven't come across one person who, whilst he's being informed about what Islam is and the beautiful teachings of the Quran and this, you know, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the end of it, just when you tell them, right now, are you prepared to accept Islam? So the person says, but, and then you know what to expect. And just yesterday, one person who is dealing with a lot of our Muslim business houses, he says he's supplying to a lot of Muslim houses. And when I explained to him Islam, he says, it's beautiful, I would like to be a Muslim. But, and again the same thing, the Muslims that I deal with, I don't know who to trust. He says, I just don't know who to trust. What you are talking about is something different. So then I have to say, yes, it is very sad and unfortunate. But if we have to tell you about Islam, then we have to tell you, look for it in the books. But then the Christian of today too is not a Christian. And the people of other faiths also, if they don't follow their religion. But we've got nothing to do with that. What we are saying is that if that person was saying he's a Muslim, then Islam should be in his life. Any person who came into contact with him, he should have seen the beautiful characteristics. Now this person says, I don't know who to supply. When I'm supplying also, my mind is not at ease. I don't know whether this Muslim, who is outwardly in Islamic garb, and these are his words, is going to take me for a ride. So how sad a day that we have to say Islam is in the books. Was Islam for the books? I mentioned in one Darul Uloom, I said, the students of Darul Ulooms, you read kitabs. Now all those things that are in the kitabs are not for the kitab. In the kitab you will get the subject of humility, the subject of shukr, the subject of taqwa, the subject of sabr, the subject of piety and everything else you will get in the kitab. Honesty, truthfulness, everything that's in the kitab. And for everyone else who reads those kitabs, not only students of Darul Ulooms, lots of people are reading kitabs of deen. So those things are not for the kitab, it is to be brought into our lives from that kitab. We cannot say that it is a sifat and the attribute of the kitab to be humble and to be simple and to be pious and to be muttaqi and to be righteous and to adopt sabr and shukr. Can the kitab adopt all those things? The kitab will have the subject, but we have to bring it into our lives. If you have to look at the computers of today, which kitab they don't have on the computer? I mentioned in the Darul Uloom. I said, which kitab is not on the computer today? You have Bukhari Sharif on the computer. You have Tirmizi Sharif on the computer. You have Abu Dawud in the computer. You have tafsirs of the Quran Sharif on the computer. All these things are on computer. You have jurisprudence and fiqh on computer. And there's so much of Islamic knowledge that can be obtained from the computer. But up till today, nobody has said that this computer is going to graduate today. We're going to tie a turban on this computer. Or we're going to cap this computer because it's got a lot of knowledge. The computers have got more knowledge than us. But nobody looks forward to the computer for guidance and hidayat. It will be somebody that will lead and that will guide. And that was supposed to be the Muslim, who was supposed to be the guide, who was supposed to be the leader, who was supposed to be the one who was going to be followed, and not the one who blindly follows the culture of everybody else, and he has absolutely no knowledge of what his culture is. So how long are we going to listen? How long are we going to listen? There has to be some kind of stop that we have to put to our evil actions and deeds. How long are we going to tell to the people that if you want Islam, then look into the kitabs? So then we rather just have shelves and shelves of kitabs. Anybody wants to know about Islam, then say, well, don't worry about meeting any Muslim in the world. Because if you're going to meet a Muslim, you may be misled, misdirected. So therefore, go and look into the kitabs. The Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, wherever they went, they were the persons that people looked into. That was the kitab. If you wanted to read a kitab, you read the life of any companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His actions, his dealings, his trade, his business, his relationship with his wife, his cheer, his smile, his talk, his walk. As they say, unki guftar, unki raftar, everything. Whatever you looked at, you can come to a conclusion that this is how my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam behaved. any companion. Ashabikan nujum bi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum. My companions are like the guiding stars. Any one of them you follow, you will get hidayat and direction. Can we say that today with regards to all Muslims, all of us? We must not point fingers at others, we must look at ourselves, each and every one. That can we say that if you want hidayat, follow me, I'll take you in the right direction. If that person starts following us, he may end up in the cinema, in the theater, in the disco, in the rave club, in drug houses, or in stealing, in fornication, adultery, we don't know where he'll end up. So let us realize that life is running out and we don't know when our time is also going to be up. So before we leave this world, let us live in a purified state. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless me also, because the person who speaks is should be far more concerned. Allah ta'ala must give me hidayat. Allah ta'ala must bless me also with all the things that I preach about. And Allah ta'ala must bless the entire mankind. Allah ta'ala must remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and problem of the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam around the globe and of the entire mankind. Allah must bless everybody with Islam, with Iman. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.